back to, you know, what I was talking about earlier, you know, where I had brought something to the Lord that, you know, how can that be so self-serving? And you know, I just remember the feeling of, you know, he wasn't pushing me away. He wasn't mad at me. He allowed me to bring that to him. And his response to me was so loving and so kind that it just keeps the lines of communication open at all times. You know, I mean, that's really the heart. When you get to see the heart of the Father, is, you know, you can bring those tough questions to him. You can bring those confusing things to him, and you can ask him specific questions, and he will give you specific answers. I mean, come on, how awesome is that, right? God wants to keep the line of communication open. All right, so I read a scripture a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord hasn't let me off the hook on this particular scripture, so I'm gonna read it again. It's in 1 Peter, and it starts at chapter 1, and it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Hallelujah. Wow. That's 1 Peter, starting in chapter 1. And so that's the scripture I want to use for today, but I want to share what I got out of the scripture, and I want to use an illustration to start off with. And so it may seem like slow getting to the point, but stick with me. I won't go long, and I will get to the point. So last week, you know, I mean, the Lord knew I had to prepare for a message on Sunday, but last week, I got home late from work, and I sat down, I grabbed some dinner. It was probably about 9 o'clock or so, maybe it was a little bit earlier. I sat down. My wife had something on TV, and I sat down next to her, and I was looking at it, and she'll know. If I don't like what she's got on, I'll start giving her a hard time about it. What are you watching this for? What's it all about? What's the story? And I was going to do that, but I really felt the Holy Spirit say, just watch it. How many know the Holy Spirit can use any way he wants to speak to us? So I did. I just sat there quietly and watched it. And it was the story of a woman who had come to realize that some property had been stolen from her family many years ago. And when she found that out, she really felt like she needed to maybe take some steps to try to figure out, how do I get this property restored back into my family? And so she hired a representative, and they began talking to different people in the legal system to see what their options were. And And people were saying, no, there's no way you're going to get your property back. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. They talked to different lawyers. They talked to different firms. They went to different hearings and talked to mediators. And at one point, when the whole thing could have been squashed, something happened which really stuck out. So I was really focused on the whole legal process that they were going through. And something happened where the whole thing could have been stopped and she would have had to give up. But what happened was the representative that she hired went to the library, the law library in that particular state that they were in, did some research, and found what they call a precedent. You ever hear that word, a precedent or precedent? And as soon as he found that precedent, and they ended up having to go to the Supreme Court. And when they went to the Supreme Court was really looking for some reason to hear this, some reason to move forward, some reason to believe that it was even worth trying to restore the property back to its rightful owner. And but the attorney, he had found a precedent. Now, if you know how a precedent works, I didn't until I did some research, but precedents are established by the court system, decisions that are made in other similar situations. And at the court where that decision is made, all of the lower courts within that same jurisdiction, they're bound. They're actually legally bound to make the same decision, to rule in the same way. It's a way of maintaining order and consistency in the way that the legal system adjudicates, you know, disputes between people. So at one point the question was asked, well, is there even a precedent here? And the representative was able to say, yes, there is a precedent. And the precedent was set many, many years before, but he found it in a book somewhere, and it became legally binding. So what happened was the Supreme Court had to decide that we're gonna have to let this case move forward. And so, you know, the attorney had a precedent, so he was excited because he knew how the legal system worked. He got a precedent. I know that I've got something that's legally binding. So he was just off and running as soon as he, you know, got that word. But the woman, you know, they kept going through some highs and lows with different hearings that they had gone to. You know, some of the hearings, you know, gave them favorable feedback. Others had given them not so favorable feedback. So the woman who didn't understand how the legal system works was going up and down, highs and lows. You know, she was high one day when she heard somebody say something favorable, and then she was ready to give up and quit the next day when she heard somebody else say something that wasn't so favorable. Does that happen with you? Does it happen with us? See, we know how. So first of all, let me say we have a precedent, right? This book is a book of precedents established by a higher court. And so the title of my message today is No Higher Court. There is no higher court than the court of the kingdom of heaven. That God is a God of order. Amen? And so it really opened my eyes to why some of these particular stories are written in here. And it's really because it gives us a precedent. It gives us something to cling to. It gives us something to attach our faith to believe that, hey, wow, you know what? Jesus set a precedent when he healed all. I'm an all. You're an all. That's a precedent. So now I can hang my hat on the fact that Jesus healed all. I don't remember a case where somebody came to Jesus for healing and he said, go away. You know, and I thought about when the woman was caught in the act of adultery and they brought her to Jesus, and I'm not saying adultery is a good thing. We know it's not. But what did Jesus say? He said, where are your accusers? And he said, you know the story, right? Let him cast the first stone. And he said to the woman, they do not condemn you, neither do I. But go and sin no more. So, you know, the enemy will try to make us feel condemned about every little mistake that we make, right? But we know the process. We confess our sins. We repent. God is faithful to forgive. And we don't have to carry the burden of that thing. We don't have to walk around feeling like we're condemned. Jesus set the precedent. I'm not condemning you. And how many know in the Bible there's just all kinds of stories like that, all kinds of precedents that were set that enable us to walk in victory. But just like that woman, she had a hard time because she didn't understand how the legal system worked. So every time somebody said something negative, she was in the pits. But that one person that was representing her who understood the legal system knew that he had something. And no amount of negative talk or no amount of anybody's opinion, even if it was a mediator in the court system or whatnot, was going to convince him that he didn't have what he needed to have a favorable outcome and to be able to return that property back to its rightful owner. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have a right to walk in victory? You have a right to be healed? You have a right to be delivered? You have a right to be set free? You have a right to be more than an overcomer? Do you believe that? So why do we let the enemy knock us down on certain days? Why do we, like the woman, have those highs and lows? It's because we don't understand how the legal system works in the spirit realm. What happens when we go down is we let go of the promise. We let go of the precedent. We let go of it, and then we reap the result of that. I mean, so the precedent existed in the law library, right? But what would have happened if it wasn't found? And what would have happened if it was found but never spoken out? What would have happened? They would have gone to the hearing, and they would have been shut down right there and not allowed to take it a step further. So we have the precedent, but how many times have we heard, it's not enough to know what's in the word. How many times have we heard we have to declare the word over our situation? Right? I mean, we have to cite it as a precedent that is ours, it's our right, and not the enemy, and not anybody, even the good-willed people in our life that are trying to convince us to give up. We don't let them. We don't let them convince us to give up. We're more like the person who understands how the legal system works and says, no, I've got something here. And my rights are not going to be taken away from me. I've got a precedent, and you are bound legally. Enemy, you are legally bound to honor this precedent and back away. But we believe that for a couple of minutes, and we fight for a little bit, but then we let it go. And we go through those highs and lows, don't we? So I'm really hoping that after today, if you come away with nothing else, you know, there is a spiritual legal system. God is a God of order. This book is our precedent. And when the enemy tries to tell us we are condemned, we have the word that says, no. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Right? But if we don't cite the precedent, what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing. It's not enough to know it's here. Certainly not enough to not know it's there. Which is why part of my soapbox today is, you know, we have to be in the Word. We have to be in the Word. Why do we have to be in the Word? So that we can be victorious. So that we can live that life of being more than an overcomer, so that we can walk out our healing, so that we can walk out our deliverance, so that we can believe that our loved ones are saved and delivered, so that we can walk out our own salvation. Is it making sense? We have a precedent. You know, I remember one time when I went to buy my house in 97. I remember somebody was talking about, oh, well, you know, somebody could sue you for your property if this happened or that happened. And there's a legal document called the Homestead Act that if you, you know, pay the reasonable fee at the court and file that, people can't sue you for your house. And I remember thinking, okay, I need that. Let's do that. And I remember the peace that I had, even though I had peace until somebody talked to me about somebody suing me for my house. Then I lost my peace, lost it completely. But then when I did that, I signed that legal document, and it was filed with the courts. I just remember the peace that I had, that my property was secure. Why don't I feel the same way about the Word of God? Why do I have to have a legal document filed at the court to have that peace? But when I read something in the Bible that gives me a precedent that says the enemy has to pay back everything that he stole from me, and the enemy does not have any right to steal anything more from me, I mean, why can't I look at this as much a legal document as that legal document that's filed with the court system in the natural realm? Do you ask yourself the same question? Are you asking yourself the same question? I know that there's been a couple of weeks where, you know, we do our praise and worship. And, you know, some weeks are better than others in terms of participation, you know. Some weeks are better than others, but I will tell you this. For me, standing in the back of the room, when I see everybody participating in praise and worship, it doesn't tell me that they don't have any struggles. It tells me that despite their struggles, they're exercising their faith to believe that God is bigger. And when I see people that are struggling to praise and worship, it really hurts. It hurts my heart because I see somebody who could be victorious, but is maybe just doesn't have a complete understanding of how the legal system works. So I know pastor's gotten up and he tries to encourage, you know, to praise and worship, enter into that place where you praise and worship. And, you know, and we respond because we have respect for our pastor. And we do know that God is good. But I want to submit to you, why is it that we have to be encouraged to do that? And believe me, I'm not pointing the fingers, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just trying to say we could be walking in a greater level of victory. In the scripture that I read before, and it talks about inexpressible joy. And I think if we had a better understanding of how that legal system works, where we have the precedent, and so we have every right to every single promise and every single thing that is in the Word of God. And if we really felt that that was binding, I think that we would be lighter when we come into this place on Sunday. Wouldn't be so hard to get up. Wouldn't be so hard to raise our hands. Wouldn't be so hard to praise and worship God. Do you think that could be part of it? I'm I'm not going to go long this morning. But I really need you to understand that the Bible is more than just a book of words. You know, it talks earlier about getting a revelation of Jesus Christ in the scripture that I read. You know, there's lots of ways that we can get a revelation of Jesus Christ, but one really good way is to read the Word of God. So is reading the Word of God part of your routine? Again, if you don't know the precedent, you're going to continue to walk in something less than that victorious life that's available to us. And when you do read the Word of God, it's got to be so set that this is it. This is it. I've got the Word. You know, I love Mark 11, 23, 24, where it says, you know, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. And it says received with an ED at the end of it. And I know I like to quote that scripture, but it's like I quote that scripture sometimes and it goes. Now, of course, the whatever you ask for, there is a stipulation, right? The Bible says, you know, that we should ask with right motives. We should ask in accordance with the will of God. But if God's in our heart, those are the kind of things that we're praying for anyways, right? The promises, Lord, I want to be healed. Lord, I should be delivered. Lord, my family should be healed. My family should be delivered. They should be walking in complete healing, walking in complete victory. And you don't let that go when you have a bad day. You don't let that go when your body, if you're praying for yourself or you're praying for somebody else, and you pray for them. How many know sometimes you pray for somebody, it seems like they go in the complete opposite direction? Why is that? Because the Word of God will be tested. It's going to be tested to see if it's in you, if you're going to let it go, or if you're going to choose to exercise your faith to believe that because it's in here, it's a precedent. And every other court system is legally bound to what it says in here. Is it getting through how important the Word of God is? Is it getting through that the Word of God is not just a book of words? Is it getting through that we need to apply the Word of God if we're going to be victorious? If we're not walking in the victory, it's not because the Word of God is faulty. It's not because God dropped the ball. Right? It's on us. And, you know, it's not easy. We talked about this before. It is not easy to exercise faith. I mean, exercising faith, it's almost like exercising. It's a lot like exercising. It's work. It's work. How many of us start an exercise routine at the beginning of the year and by, you know, the end of the month, we're done? Right? Maybe some will go 3 months. Maybe some, you know. But exercising our faith, it's work. It's not easy. And that's why the Bible says that if you can obtain a promise from God, you are considered a hero of the faith. Because you stuck it out. You claimed it to be true. You didn't allow anybody to wrestle it away from you. And you saw the outcome. It was a favorable outcome. You know, sometimes God gives us those testimonies. You know, how many would say it was easier to get a testimony when I first believed? How many would say that? The testimonies, they were flowing like water. One testimony after another. How many would say that? Testimonies come a lot easier when you first believed, right? There's a reason for that. Because you really didn't have anything to do with it. It was God who created the situation, gave you the strength to walk through it and exercise some level of faith, and he showed you by the favorable outcome that, see, this is what happens when you exercise your faith. This is what happens when you apply the Word of God to your situation. But then he backs off. and he allows you now to walk through the next situation, not completely in your own strength, but certainly more in your own strength. Right? When you got a baby, and the baby is pulling himself up on the couch and starting to, you know, move along the furniture, you might grab him by, let him grab your fingers and do this kind of thing. But sometimes we expect that he's going to do that all the time. Can you imagine me walking Rich around with him holding my finger? But somehow we expect that's going to happen. Somehow we expect that even after years of learning and sitting under his teaching, because he is a teacher, right? And he's teaching us something, and then when it's up to us to walk it out, when as soon as we let go of his fingers, what happens? Boom. We fall on our butts. And we're reaching out for his fingers, and he's pulling them back, saying, come on, get up, come on. I'm talking about myself, of course. I wouldn't dare say anything like that about anybody else. But how many can see a little bit of that in ourselves? It's work. It is work. So why is it so hard? Because we lack understanding. And that's okay to say. It's okay to say that we lack understanding. It's just like when I said earlier, you know, God, why does it sound so self-serving? If we go to him and say, Father, we lack understanding, he's not going to say, yeah, I know, and at this point you should have it, so just take a hike. No, he's going to walk you through it. So if you're one that is sitting there reaching up for his fingers and you can't find his fingers, it's because it's time for you to start applying your faith. It's time for you to start exercising your faith. It's time for you to start taking some responsibility for your growth. It's time for you to start seeking him out where before he sought us out. Right? You know, sometimes you back away. He backs away just to see if we're going to miss him enough that we go to seek him out. And the sad part is sometimes days, weeks, months can go by. Years, and we're not seeking him out. You know, God is blessed when he hears you speaking his word. Do you know that? I remember one day my son Michael came to me and asked me for some advice about something in particular. And I remember giving some advice. And you never know if they heard you. But I remember hearing him speak to his older brother like a week later, and he repeated verbatim what he was going to do in this particular situation to his older brother. And I remember just thinking to myself, wow, what a blessing. He listened. And I almost said, finally, you're listening to me. But I felt like that would have taken it away from him. And I wanted him to keep it. He was claiming that as his own, and I wanted him to keep that as his own. I didn't want to bring it up. I think it was even the Holy Spirit that pulled me back and said, leave it. Leave it alone. You accomplished what you wanted to accomplish. Don't undo it. Really. So it's his now. It's his wisdom. And he can act on it because it's his. He's not doing what Dad said. He's doing what he believes is the right thing. So, you know, hallelujah. Thank you. But God is blessed when he hears his sons and daughters quoting his word to the enemy, to anyone that we might be witnessing to, He's blessed. He wants us to use his word. That's why he's given it to us. Do you feel like you've had anything stolen from you? You know, in this particular story, what was stolen wasn't stolen from her, it was stolen from previous generations. So we have a right to reclaim even generational stuff, things that were taken from us that keep manifesting themselves generation after generation. We can claim victory over generational curses, generational things that have been stolen from us. We can still claim the victory. You know, earlier in the scripture, it said, to those who reside as aliens. Do we reside as aliens? Right? We are not citizens. It says in Philippians, right? We are not citizens of this world. We are citizens of heaven, right? The venue for that favorable outcome in this particular story, they had to go to a foreign country. And so they first thought, well, we're in a foreign country. There's no way we're going to get a favorable decision. But they did. And they had that precedent. And so the courts had to honor that there was already a decision made in this particular type of situation where the property was given back. So there was a precedent. But they were aliens in that foreign country. So we are aliens, but that doesn't mean we can't have the favorable decision in that place where we are aliens. Right? It doesn't mean that we have to wait to get to heaven where our citizenship is in order to receive a favorable decision today. Right? I mean, we're called to live a life of faith and healing and wholeness and that joy inexpressible, that peace that passes all understanding, can be ours every single day, even in a foreign land. Listen to see if anything's processing. I don't hear anything. But I know it's processing. Look, you know, bottom line is God is for us, right? Not against us. The Word of God is the Word of God. There is no higher court. If it says that it's my right to be healed and to be whole, you know, he did not give me a spirit of fear, or power and love and of a sound mind. That's my right. And I will promise you that if you stand on your right, it doesn't matter how much opposition you run into for a season, the outcome will be favorable. You can obtain every single promise and walk that life that he's made available to us, but it's going to take some work. Again, exercising faith. There's a challenge in the Bible that says, you show me your faith apart from works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Right? You know that one? If you're not citing the precedent, that's the first step of exercising your faith, finding it, citing it. But then the hard part is standing firm against all the opposition. Right? I mean, how many of us have received words of prophecy and then it seems like the floodgates opened to just bury that word and make it not even seem possible to us anymore? How many times has that happened? And it's going to happen. And we have to be wise about the fact that it's going to happen. The Word of God is going to be tested, and we have to contend for the faith. We have to contend for our own faith. We have to stand firm and say, you know, when you're feeling condemned about something, you have to cite the precedent to yourself and say, there is no condemnation. I've done everything that I know to do. I've confessed my sin. I've repented. And I am forgiven. But if we're not citing the precedent even to ourselves, then we're going to stay in that place of feeling condemned. And it's really our own fault. Because we've got the word. Amen? All right, so I think I'm going to stop there. I hope that you understand a little bit more about why the Word of God is so important to us and how the Word of God contributes to the victory in any situation that steals our peace, steals our joy, steals our right to, go ahead and fill in the blank. If we're not citing the precedent, we should not expect to see anything change. But if we are, and we're standing in faith, and we're contending for the faith, we should expect everything to change, whether it be a change in our perspective, right? I mean, I had a change in my perspective when I brought that to the Lord and said, it sounds so self-serving. But this morning when Kim said praise and worship, that ugly thing that was deep in there wasn't there anymore, because I had brought it to the Lord, and the Lord was able to touch it and do something about it. And it's just not there anymore. And that's what he does when we allow him to love on us and allow him to touch those ugly spots that we identify. How many know they're always coming to the surface, right? It's why we go through some of the stuff we go through, is so that stuff that is deep in there that you can't see rises up to the surface, so that you can say, ooh, that's ugly. I didn't know that was in there. And then just, God help me. You know, even the Bible says, be specific about your petitions and your requests. We need to be specific. We need to ask, Lord, help me with my anger issues. That's specific. Lord, help me with this thing that I'm wrestling with. Help me, what was one prayer? I believe, help me with my unbelief. Right? Sometimes that's the only thing we can pray. Lord, I believe, but somehow it's just not enough to get me to where I need to be. It's somehow not enough to get me to that victory. So help me with my unbelief, that part of me that is like an anchor that's hindering me from walking in the victory. And if we're not doing that, then we shouldn't expect anything to change. And if we're not contending for that, then we shouldn't expect anything to change. Right? Just like the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, and you ask, he will give it. But if you doubt, don't expect anything to happen. You know, it's relentless. Fear and doubt, they're relentless. And they're like a tag team match. Right? I mean, you wrestle with the fear, and you get that thing pinned. Feeling better, but then it reaches over and then doubt comes in. And they go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it's really because they're having their way with us. We're not fighting. We're just kind of, you know, we're just kind of allowing ourselves to be overtaken and not taking our thoughts captive. When the doubt comes in, we have to take that thought captive. When the fear comes in, we have to take that thought captive. And the best way to take it captive is to cite the precedent. And if you don't have the precedent, or you know it's there, but you're not speaking it out, you're not going to see the victory. All right, so I just want to pray as we close, if you're okay with that. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for a greater revelation of what your word is and can be to us, for us. By faith, we declare that your word is true and settles all matters, that there is no higher court, and that every other system under heaven is bound by your word. And so I just pray, God, this morning that you would work with us. Help us. Even extend your fingers one more time And let us grab a hold of them and help us to walk this out. Show us again how to get to that place of victory. But not just how to get there, but how to stay there. Help us come to a point where the fruit of allowing you to love on us is inexpressible joy. It's peace that passes all understanding. It's the joy of the Lord that should be our strength. And let it become so ingrained in us, so filled in us, that praise and worship is the fruit that comes out of our lips. And Father, we just thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for equipping us with everything that we need to walk in victory. Help us, help us, help us to walk in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.